Siwe Moloto on Cape Talk.
She's got her hands up in the air like Usain Bolt having broken the world record for the 100 meters in the bird's egg nest. What do they call that? The thing in the stadium in Beijing, the bird's nest, bird's egg nest, bird's neck, bird's nest stadium. Hello.
Hi. I'll know I'll make it when I get headphones in here. The important people wear the headphones. Okay. That's when I know. But I love the name.
But you and hair.
I know. Thank God.
Refill wears hair does not mix with headphones.
Exactly.
You want to talk? I'm all right.
Good.
I'm all right. I'm firing on 4 out of 6 cylinders.
Oh, fantastic.
Which
that's good.
Better than it's been for a while.
Yeah.
You've been reading about Rwanda's pushback against secondhand clothes being exported from the US. They cross about it. Why?
I have. So actually, the interesting thing is actually it was the entire East African community who sort of had a hard line over the last year to say by 2019, we're going to put a hard ban on this from the US. But there's a lobby group called the Secondary Materials and Recycled Textiles Association.
I want to be the CEO
of
that.
Or SMART. Yeah. Who have now gone to the US Trade Representative to complain. And now the US Trade Representative is investigating the eligibility of these countries to remain in the AGOA program. Now, what's interesting about it...
Take a couple of steps back. Why are they cross about it? Because he has
very good
decent,
question.
Properly manufactured, brand-name clothing coming in from the US, and Rwandan citizens can walk around in a fairly decent sweatshirt for much cheaper than they would be able to buy one in one of the brand-name shops in Kigali.
Yes, I mean, possibly, but on the front of it, on the face of it, it's kind of just interesting. I don't hear much about secondhand clothes being exported to Germany. So it's a little bit... But the big issue from an economic perspective, which is President Kagame's issue, is it's stifling the development of the local textile economy. And when you think about it, you know, AGOA especially, every time they get encouraged by U.S. embassies, they say, you know, guys, build up your textile industries. This is the big industry for you to export to us. But at the same time, you're kind of flooding it out with what one could consider a soft form of dumping. Now, dumping isn't illegal, but... You know, it should be. You know, if you can demonstrate that it's stifling your local industry, it would be illegal under the World Trade Organization rules. But it's distasteful, really, especially with poor countries. It's not great PR. So those are the two reasons that it's really an issue.
What's the scale of this? And you mentioned East Africa.
Yes.
I don't know whether secondhand clothing's been exported from the US to South Africa, is it?
No, not from what I've seen. But to that particular East African community, that particular regional group, it's about $300 million worth of business. It's relatively big. It's not big in the context of the American economy, but when you think about the fact that that region exports $43 million to the US, you have to wonder, why would I sacrifice what could be a burgeoning industry, which the African Development Bank says on the continent is a $31 billion industry, for $43 million and not developing the jobs at home. Now,
are the kinds of clothes that are being exported to Rwanda the kind of clothes that Rwanda is making? Is there direct competition?
There's not really a lot of competition, and that's a very, very good question, John. The point being, much like how labor undercuts our development in our own textile industry in South Africa, price is tending to undercut the development of something to be built out of the Rwandan industry or the East African industry. And the other question that's also been raised in terms of concern around it is health. You know, should you really be selling secondhand underwear to African nations? You know, I know there's some sort of cleaning, but
yeah,
what is
I
the
hope
quality?
I'm never that desperate.
I mean, this is the thing, and what are the quality controls around actually keeping those things well cleaned? So those have been a couple of the concerns that have come up. Now, I find it quite interesting. So once the complaint came up, Rwanda has keeping their hard line, and they're saying we might not mind actually leaving AGOA. Tanzania is also saying we're trying to run an industrialization drive. So we actually have, it might be a blessing in disguise. Well, they're mixed perspectives there. In the Tanzanian perspective, the presidency says we don't mind, but business has sort of raised their hand to say, well, what about our exporters, and we might not actually have an alternative clientele. And Kenya itself has actually stepped completely away from the ban. Now, interestingly, the ban comes on the back of 2016's increased tariffs across these countries on imported secondhand clothes, and Kenya has now agreed not only to step away from the ban but to remove the tariffs altogether. So your negotiating power goes away if, as a region, somebody of you are moving forward and some of you are moving against. But the thing that I think is quite interesting, you know, I think sometimes it seems as though you and I are talking about completely different things all over the place, but how often have you and I spoken about regional integration, the need for us to trade amongst ourselves? This would not be a concern if we could trade amongst ourselves. And there's an interesting paper written by a gentleman by the name of Nilufar Moyo, who raised the point to say the problem with AGOA is that it's not actually an instrument to foster regional integration by saying, okay, we don't mind if it's something that has been assembled or, you know, sourced nearby and can come through and in getting countries to work together. Because it's a country by country analysis, you become very competitive and you start lobbying or at least scrambling for this one market that actually on the other side is benefiting a great deal more.
Yeah, I mean, AGOA, I suspect it was probably conceived with good motives. But every time we talk about it in practice, it seems to be that America is the country that wants to benefit and to heck with us. You know, in order to stay within the ambit of AGOA,
absolutely,
we had to compromise on issues related to poultry.
That's right.
In a way which, and I've heard and read a lot about this, which seems to significantly threaten employment and profitability in our local poultry industry. Because in order to stay part of AGOA, we've got to allow the Americans to export a whole range of stuff to us that they don't want.
There you go. Now, the smart complaint that went to the U.S. Trade Representative, quite interestingly, John, if you can think about this, their complaint is they're losing almost 20,000 jobs by losing the East African community. And the natural thing for me is to say those are jobs that could be here and potentially more at cheaper wage rates. Secondly, the interesting point around what you make, you're right, AGOA has actually been very profitable for our exporters in Africa. It's a 500% growth in exports to $54 billion that we export. But can I tell you something quite sad? 90% of that is natural resources and oil. So what are we doing here, guys? And to be frank, when you ask the question, to be quite crude, I really think that this was a relatively ham-fisted, quick response to China's head start on the continent.
Okay.
So unfortunately, you know, so it will come up under review. And as we've spoken about in the past, we asked ourselves, look, you know, what does this mean? What does a Trump presidency, for example, mean for Africa? Not much in the AGOA perspective because it sort of outlasts him, the agreement. But the review phase has come in 2018. And this is an out of schedule review that came up as well. And so one has to, you know, when you start to get these kinds of responses from countries like Rwanda, countries from Tanzania, who are actually quite small and trying to foster growth, you start to realize that, well, first of all, it becomes quite surprising the kind of things you'll sign away when you like the president, but you start to realize the things that you're going to stand up to when you don't.
Thank you very much indeed, Refilwe Maloto, principal at Ambassador Advisory.